gospel. Peace be unto all.
And to your spirit.
The readings of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. The Lord said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father, who is in the secret place. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. A principle that I've been working with you in different settings is how to read the Bible. We read the Bible in the church. And I wish to use this sermon as another opportunity to illustrate how we read the Bible in the church in order to be taught by the church the mysteries of God. So following the lectionary from this last week, when we were reading in St. Luke's Gospel of the account of Christ's trial, crucifixion, and burial, when we ended on Thursday in front of the tomb, as the myrrh-bearing women saw how the Lord was buried and then returned to prepare spices and ointments and rested in prayer on the Sabbath. From this, we are given to know that in the liturgical today of the church, we are standing mystically this morning before the tomb of our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Or rather, we are standing before the mystery of God's Sabbath rest. The setting of our theme for this morning, Adam's expulsion from paradise, would lead us to understand that the Lord's tomb, his Sabbath rest, is the door that opens onto paradise. This, in turn, gives us to understand that the 6 weeks of Great Lent are the invisible path of the inner exodus of the gospel that would lead us into the mystery of God's Sabbath rest and to the doors of paradise, or to the Lord's tomb, which we will discover as we take up the fast and do it, is not out there or over there or back then. The Lord's tomb is hidden in the deep of our own heart. On that note, those of you who were at the vigil last night may have been struck by how often we heard the church calling out, "O Virgin, call me back. O Virgin, call me back."
And we heard it again this morning in the verse, one of the verses for the Beatitudes. You understand that the Virgin was at the cross, and she was with the other women who were watching Christ's burial. So when we call upon the Virgin, we are calling upon the Virgin there at the tomb, which would suggest that either she's calling us back to come with her to the tomb, or she's with us at the tomb and we're asking her, would you lead us in the prayer of hesychasm, the prayer of the heart that you founded and that you taught us, would you lead us to that prayer, the tomb of our Lord in our heart? Virgin, O Holy Virgin, call me back. Call me back to paradise. And when we come into our heart, when we descend into our heart, when we take up the fast and go into our soul, looking for our heart in the light and under the guidance of the Church, we will come upon an opening that is blocked, closed off by what St. Paul calls the thick dividing wall of hostility, formed brick by brick, layer by layer, by the fruits of our egotism and self-righteousness, following the teaching of St. Isaiah the Solitary. Standing here in the Church's liturgical today before the mystery of the Lord's tomb, we should see suddenly that we are not the friends of God that we thought we were. We do not love God as we fancied we did. We love ourselves, not God. We love sensual pleasure. We discover that we are the thief. We have taken our bodies that are not our own, that God gave us to make into holy temples of His Holy Spirit, and we claim them as our own, doing with our bodies as we please. We take our minds, which are not our own, and we claim them as we are as our own, and we do with our minds this as we please. We take our souls, which are not our own, and we claim them as our own, and we do with our affections and our desires as we please. And in this we discover that we are thieves, taking what is not ours, what is God's, and claiming it as our own. In this light, we should see suddenly that even as his disciples, quote unquote, even though we may not be crucifying the Lord of glory outright again and again in our heart, we nonetheless, in many subtle and different ways, are betraying him, or denying him, or fleeing from his cross, seeking to save our soul in the pleasures and the glories of the world's darkness. I am bold to say that the evidence that we have, in fact, entered prayerfully into the liturgical today of the Church, and that we are standing mystically before the Lord's tomb, before his Sabbath rest, is that we suddenly do not just see it in our mind's eye. We feel it in the fear that suddenly seizes our gut. The fear that comes from the realization that we are cut off from God. We are shut out of the light. We are exiles in a strange land, shut out of paradise. But this morning, standing in this liturgical today of the Church before the Lord's tomb, we discover that we are not far away in a strange land. Because the door of paradise, Christ's tomb, God's tomb, is right in front of us. We are in it. Well, no, we're not in it. We'll be in it on Holy Pascha. This morning we are in front of the Lord's tomb. Yes, we are on this side of it. Paradise is on the other side of it. But the door is right here. It's the tomb of the Savior. In fact, we are so close to this door of paradise, we discover that it's in us. It's in our heart. Indeed, it's in our death. That's how close it is. And in our death is where we behold the dread mystery of God, laid out as a corpse to rest in his tomb, as in his Sabbath rest. It is the incomprehensible mystery of God making himself one with me at that point, where I am but dust and ashes, where I am dead in my sins and trespasses. In my heart, God makes himself one with me, where I begin and end. That point at which I burst into being when God made me in his image and likeness. And where I'm thinking it may be that we return when we die. So do you suddenly see that the tomb of the Lord is itself the dividing wall of hostility? But the Lord himself is in it. He's in it as a corpse. And precisely as a corpse, he has made that dividing wall of hostility to become the door that opens onto paradise. Oh, if we could but get inside that tomb. But to do so, it would seem to follow that we must first make our way to our own heart and into the dividing wall of hostility that separates us from God. And the only way we can do that is by not denying ourselves, losing our life for the sake of Christ, and taking up our cross not just to follow him, but even to become one with him in his tomb, where he alone, in the life-creating power of his death, has the power to destroy that dividing wall of hostility and transfigure it into the door that opens our heart once again out into paradise and beyond. Standing mystically in the liturgical today of the church before the tomb of the Lord, the Sabbath rest of God, do you also see that we are standing in the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets? That is, we now understand what the word of the Lord was saying to us through the prophets, because we are seeing it. We're there in the fulfillment of his word. We are seeing it in the dread and sacred mystery of the Lord himself lying dead in his tomb. This is the great and holy Sabbath that Moses spoke of, on which God rests from all his works of creation. This is the mystery hidden from all eternity, the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's take but one example, just one example of how we are standing in the fulfillment of the prophets, and how that affects and changes the way that we hear what the prophets are saying. Our reading on Friday was in Zechariah, the day before we had just finished reading from St. Luke's Gospel, the myrrh-bearing women seeing him buried in the tomb. So listen now to the word of the Lord to Zechariah as you stand in your soul before the Lord's tomb in the fulfillment of the prophecy. Thus saith the Lord. Wait. He's in his tomb. He's dead. How can he be speaking anything? Do you understand? You see how already we begin to read the prophets in a different way. Thus saith the Lord. How can he speak? He's dead. Dear brothers and sisters, he can speak precisely because he is the Lord who is dead. And the word that he is speaking is the mighty deed of his death on the cross. That's the word that he's speaking. He is speaking it to us from within his tomb. He is speaking it to us from within our own death. That should grab you already. That should shake you already. But he goes on, of course. Behold, he says to Zechariah, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. What does that mean? Understand, we're standing before the cross, before his tomb. I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. Do you see? He will save his people in the mystery of his death on the cross when he stretches out his arms east and west to embrace all of creation. That's how he will save his people. From the east and from the west. It's from his cross. And I will bring them to dwell in the middle of Jerusalem. I don't take this as the spatial middle of Jerusalem. That would be First Avenue and First Street. This is the spiritual middle of Jerusalem, the spiritual heart of Jerusalem, which is the sanctuary of the temple. So he's going to bring them to dwell into the sanctuary of the temple. But I don't think we know that he's not talking about the earthly temple made of stone and that was destroyed in Jerusalem, year 66 AD or so. But rather, as we know from the Gospel of St. John, he's talking about the temple of his body, the temple of his holy church, built from the stone of the Lord's crucified and risen body, the stone that was rejected by the builders and buried in the ground to become the cornerstone of the temple not made with hands, the temple that rises from the depths of hell to the height of heaven as the body of Christ, the crucified and risen body of Christ, his holy church. And they shall be my people, and I will be to them a God in truth and in righteousness. He will be their own people. We will be his people. He will be our God because he has purchased us with his own blood. He is our master, even our own flesh and blood. And we are his own spirit. He is our food and our drink. He is the air that we breathe. We live and we are nourished in him. We move and we have our very being in him. If we unite ourselves to him who has united himself to us, nothing, not even the gates of hell, can destroy us, because we dwell in him who has destroyed our death by his death. How do we dwell in him? How do we become one with him? How do we get into his tomb so that we can become his own? We do so by descending with him into his death and his burial in the tomb. And how do we do that? Please listen closely. It says in Luke 23:54, this is what we read on Thursday, and I've said this many times now. It was the day of preparation. And the Sabbath, which is the beginning of the new creation, was beginning to grow light. It was beginning to dawn. The day of the new creation, understand, was dawning from the tomb of the Lord. It says at the matins of Cheese Fair Friday, just this last Friday, it says, behold, the time of light has come. What time is that? The time of great Lent. The time of light has come. The holy day shines upon us. What holy day? God's Sabbath rest. I wish you to see that the fast is the light that is emanating already from the Lord's tomb. And when we come into the fast, we're not just coming into a religious obligation. We're coming mystically into the mystery of God's Sabbath rest. This is the substance of the fast. Also when she's Friday, we read this. Today, the grace of the fast shines upon all of us with the light of the sun, cleansing us from the gloom of sin. So I ask you to see that the fast is the embodiment, it's the incarnation of this light that is already shining from the Lord's tomb. It is the light, the uncreated light of God, whose substance is the power of Christ's death. That's what's working in this light of the Lenten fast. It's the power of Christ's death, which is the power to destroy death. So when we take up this fast, as we come into Great Lent, we're stepping in a real, physical, concrete, tangible way into the power of Christ's death by which he destroyed death. So take up the Lenten fast. Don't just ignore it. Take it seriously to the degree that you want to become one with Christ. Take up the Lenten fast. As we read in the Lenten Triodion, we'll be reading it on Wednesday Matins. It is the flower of abstinence that grows from the tree. The fast is the cross. It's rooted in the cross. It's not on a parallel track with the cross. It's not just an emblem of the cross. It's the extension of the cross into space-time. It grows from the tree. Its substance is the wood of the cross. That is the soil that it grows from. And so the fast is the flower of abstinence itself that carries within it the power of Christ's death by which he destroys death. So when we take up the fast, we're taking up the cross of the Lord, not in a theoretical or pretend way, but in a real way, tangible, concrete. You can get your teeth in this, and actually you can't get your teeth in it because you can't eat meat anymore. But you're getting your teeth in it. You're able to grapple with it. And when we do so, we're coming into the light of the grace of God that shines from his tomb, his Sabbath rest. The fast is the light of the dawning of the Savior God's resurrection from the dead. So wrap your mind around that. As we come into the fast, we're coming into the resurrection of Christ already. Lent is a season of light. It's the dawning of the Lord's resurrection. Lent is the season of abstinence that reveals to us the light of salvation. So how can you see the light of salvation if you're not taking up the fast? If you're not stepping into the light of the fast? You're just treating it as, oh, that's something that the Orthodox do. It's not really important. Excuse me. This is how we enter into, in a real way, the reality of the mystery of Christ's holy Pascha, the mystery of his Sabbath rest. Let us understand that the fast is the cross. Its spiritual substance is the power of Christ's life-creating death. Through the fast, our faith in Christ becomes more than a religious claim or assertion. Our faith becomes physical. It becomes visceral. The fast, the physical extension of Christ's holy cross into space-time, is what makes our faith concrete. It's what makes our faith real. It's what brings our faith down from the high horse of human arrogance and self-righteousness and brings it down into the dust of the ground and makes it real. Through the fast, the cross itself and its power becomes incarnate in us. It becomes the power that is now working in our bodies, our soul, and our mind. Through the fast, we descend into the mystery of the Lord's empty tomb. And we come into the reality of his holy resurrection in the mystery of his holy Pascha. We step into the cross. We step into the light of the new creation already beginning to dawn from his holy tomb. And in that light, just by doing the fast mindfully, prayerfully, humbly, meekly, in the presence of God, by doing the fast, we are cleansed. We are purified to become body and soul holy temples of God, God's own people in the heart of Jerusalem. And I dare say that if we will do the fast, we will come to Pascha night. And when we say, in the joy of the resurrection, let us forgive all things, let us call brother even those who hate us, it will have a different quality to it. It will have depth to it. There will be a certain heartfeltness to it. Not because of anything that we have done, except to bring ourselves into the presence of Christ through the fast. And it's Christ who, because we have brought ourselves to him and offered to him all of our brokenness, all of our sins, all of our weakness, our defects, our faults, even our own death, he takes that offering and he transfigures it into the door of paradise. And we become one with him. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us.